Hey, church leaders, welcome to the Slingshot Group podcast. I'm your host, Tim Foote, CEO of Slingshot Group, where we build remarkable teams through staffing and coaching. And I got to tell you, this conversation today is loaded, and it's about a topic we all need to be talking about. And I believe today we have one of the leading voices on this topic. So let's jump right in. Well, Kenny Jiang, I'm so grateful to have you on the Slingshot Group podcast. Been wanting to have you on for a while. And I'd love you to start by just sharing some of your story, your expertise as a church online pastor, and the journey through to this point. Give us a little bit of your background and your story for us.
Absolutely. Love being here for this conversation. One of the things that I like to say is that I'm one of those old fogies in the church online world, right? So the journey started probably a little over a decade ago. Had the opportunity to lead the church online ministry for a Liquid Church in New Jersey, which is a multi-site non-denominational church. And we experimented with different models of how do you, you know, do community formation, discipleship, how do you do sacraments online? So all those things that really required rethinking ministry from a fresh perspective. And that has been rewarding because we were able to build something, I think, that was meaningful for a lot of people that became part of that community. But also personally, being able to learn some of the innovation methodologies that we were able to experiment with and then continuously reuse them or learn and evolve how to use, you know, a willing suspension of disbelief is what I call it in terms of what does God have in store for us when you apply the latest version of technology that we have in front of us?
So, Kenny, I always learn something when I talk to you, and it's been interesting hearing your journey to what we're going to talk about today, which is the journey to the use of AI and how that's going to affect all of us in ministry. But talk about how catalytic the pandemic was to the work that you do and kind of teeing you up for what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the pandemic changed everything, right? We were in a world pre-pandemic where the validity of the entire vocation of a church online pastor, you know, was challenged everywhere you go. And then we became, you know, what I called Zoom Nation, right? Everyone understood how to do FaceTime and Zoom, and the dreams of, you know, get smart and, you know, the shoe phone and all that kind of stuff became real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're in a point where we're beyond that. And so we literally have been able to, I think, take advantage of technology for ministry's sake in quite, you know, surprising ways that I think the version of ourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago would have been surprised. And I think today, you know, AI is just another evolution point. Some people think of AI as completely different and other world. But in my mind, it's just a continuation of the spectrum of what has happened with technology. And the way I look at it as a church leader is that we are able to take technology and help us to scale personal relationships. At the end of the day, our business, right, is all about investment in cultivating, nurturing, and actually building upon relationships. And I just see technologies as enablers, support systems, you know, new ways that we can actually enhance the ability to find and actually establish and deepen relationships together.
I'd love your opinion on one thing before we jump into to some specifics here, Kenny. Do you think there was a pendulum swing with technology in the church? You know, we would say suddenly the pandemic happened, and what we've been talking to churches for so long about, which was elevating communications and technology in the church, we were suddenly catapulted a decade ahead, 10 years into the future. But do you think when we started meeting, gathering together again, and as people started gathering in conferences and things again, do you think we've kind of stalled, or do you think we're continuing to move ahead at the rate we should?
Oh, so that's a very interesting insight. One of the things that I think is happening is that there's some divergent trends that has happened coming out of the pandemic. So I think the common phrase that you have heard over the last couple of years is, how do we get our people back, right? And you've heard that phrase or that thought. And I think that camp is just holding on to our past, where IRL church, in real life, in-person church, was the gold standard. And they're just trying to figure out, how do we get back to the past? I do think that those people are retreating from, you know, live streaming, church online, digital ministry, all that kind of stuff, because it's still, it's hard. Technology is still wonky. As I like to say, our dreams tend to outpace technology most of the time when it comes to this kind of stuff. We're always waiting for technology to catch up to us. But there is another group, and I think the ones that are agile, that are very technologically, you know, leaning forward, growth mindset, they're investing more and trying to figure out how we go further. And I think that's, you know, you have two camps now that are separating. The middle is disappearing.
It's interesting from a staffing perspective, Kenny, and I didn't expect to go here in our conversation. Mm-hmm. So I will get focused in a second. But yeah, it seems in the staffing space that when it comes to communications, technology roles, and production roles, it seems that there's more of a focus right now on contract work and trying to, instead of building departments with full-time leaders. Are you seeing some of these trends?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a natural evolution of the gig economy that's happening across all of our culture, right? And then I think it's the priorities and values of, you know, the next generations that keep coming up, that the institution where that demands your fidelity, loyalty above all, at the risk of mental health, personal and vocational development and passions, et cetera, I think is... those are the risk factors that are putting all this stuff into the pendulum mix in jeopardy. So yeah, I do see that, you know, that contract freelance, bivocational, that type of, I guess, pressure on the executive pastor or the HR person that's staffing a church internally, is increasing. Like I get, you know, queries almost on a weekly basis at this point, asking for help. Can you find a digital leader for me? Can you find a social media person for me? But I would say pre-pandemic, they're looking for full-time roles. And now they're looking for part-time. They're looking for someone that can juggle multiple roles, you know, multiple churches or side gigs and things like that.
Talk about why it's important to have a full-time investment on your staff in these kinds of roles, because that's what you have done or did for so many years. Why is it important to have a full-time priority FTE on this role?
Yeah, so I think I'm of two minds. One is I've had this rant on social where I said the side gig culture is bad for the church, right? The side gig culture, like it seems like, especially in the creative roles, that everyone has a side hustle, right? The joke is that, you know, I'm an old fogey, right? I'm about to die soon. So I make fun of the younger generations, right? And so like we used to say any millennial with a DSLR is all of a sudden a wedding photography business in a box, right? So everyone has this side gig on the weekend. Everyone now has an Etsy shop or, you know, some digital downloads or a course or they're a life coach. And I don't think that is just in general, you know, good and healthy for the church. And here's why. It's because when you wake up every day, you're not focused on one thing only, and you're not putting in the 10,000 hours to become the master, the expert, the champion, and the craftsman that you need to be the best and show up with excellence and give God the best work product that you could actually have and be. And I don't know if it's, you know, a product of our American culture where it's me-centered versus corporate-centered. But I do think that that is, it does put a lot of things into like this dilution mode, this modality of, I'm not focused on what I have to do here because I have a to-do list of things outside of my, you know, my main vocation. Mm-hmm. So I think just from that point of view, I think it's not that healthy in general. And I think that when you have also misalignment, then the focus always then comes down to compensation, benefits, all that kind of stuff, which is at odds with, I just want focus on my craft of doing the ministry and becoming the best at what I do, whatever it's family ministry or volunteer management or, you know, administration, whatever it is. I think it takes away from that. I don't know about you, but I think that is, I don't know how you necessarily stop it. I don't think you could be legalistic and just bar it from, you know, in the HR handbook. Of course you can, but I don't think that's the solution. I think there are other things that leadership today need to figure out how to build the roles, responsibilities, and the freedoms within what you have as a task in your role to be able to fulfill more than just, you know, the compensation side.
That's a great word, Kenny. I mean, you and I find ourselves in front of church staffs all the time, yeah, talking about how important it is to not only focus on the greatest calling of all, which is, we yeah. believe, to serve in the local church, but also to stay fresh and to grow and to do that in healthy ways, but also talking to executive leaders about how to prioritize roles like a CTO and Chief Technology Officer, communications directors at an exec level, production directors, all because we see where ministry is heading and the tools that are available to us, which is a great segue to AI. And it's sparking so many strong emotions from everybody, especially church leaders, some very negative and concerned about AI, even guilty to be using it or considering using it. Some are excited, perhaps hoping they won't have to think or work as hard if AI is doing it for them. And others, like me, are somewhere in the middle trying to figure out what we think about this.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Help me know, and the church leaders listening today, how should we be thinking about AI?
I think you should all hide because it's going to come and take your job, right? Like, end of story. No, I think that's the problem, right? We've bought, in general, most of society is buying into this narrative that's driven by FOLO, right? FOLO is the new word, fear of looming obsolescence, that it's human versus the machine, that it's going to take over humanity. It's, you know, all those scary stories. I think the future of AI is pervasive and it's personalized, but it's not something you need to prevent, right? Like, it's not a job ender. It's something that will help you evolve your job and actually do more if you're able to look at it and try to find the opportunities that technology is going to empower you with. It's not the big bad wolf that I think we are all afraid of, right? Everyone has a little sliver of fear in the back of their mind, but it is a powerful tool that needs, you know, responsible stewardship, of course. But I think beyond that, it's something where you can't stop the opportunity that's going to be, you know, in front of us. It's something that we have to learn and adapt right now.
I love that term, FOLO, fear of looming.
Obsolescence, right?
Obsolescence. Yeah. And it's interesting because so many of us as leaders deal with that. Just in our leadership journey, are we going to become obsolete? Are we aging out of this? And I think sometimes AI can be another catalyst for us feeling that way.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Two conversations come to mind. First is a young leader I was talking to recently who's in the production communication space saying to me, well, I better diversify because my job's probably going away with AI. And that's a myth you can bust. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a conversation I had with you. I think it was earlier this year when we were in Chicago at a conference together. And I was lamenting that I was worried about whether my high school and middle school age sons were using AI to do their assignments. And you said, well, why wouldn't you be encouraging them to leverage AI? Talk about those two conversations and how you would respond further.
Yeah, in my mind, not embracing AI right now is not a modality that is playing it safe. Mm. Not embracing AI right now is basically stalling the future, right? And so you see that the non-ministry, the secular marketplace, is completely embracing AI everywhere you go. I just came back from the HubSpot conference. I came back from a marketing AI conference, came back from a Silicon Valley marketplace conference on AI. And everyone is going full throttle on AI. You're seeing AI in Snapchat, in Instacart. You're seeing AI integrated, these chatbots everywhere. And it's going to become the norm for culture, right? Google and Bing and all these other search engines are normalizing the use of AI. If we in the church prevent its use and just not just turn a blind eye to it, I think we're going to be left behind. I think that's just one of the things that we're at risk at. And it's almost like any other technological innovation, like the calculator. I am sure there were many, many math teachers that were, you know, that objected to the calculator coming into the classroom. And yet, how is it, you know, how is it used today? Completely different. And so I do think that, you know, even as a parent, we have to look for what are the avenues of growth that we can give our kids so that they're better equipped for the future, not technically proficient in something that is here now in this timeline in 2023 or 24, but how do we equip them for growth in the future? And I think that's what it comes down to, is that you need a growth mindset, right? Like that to me is what we need to be teaching is not tech, and it's not how to create the best prompt. It's more about building a culture of learning and adaptability and this growth mindset that we can actually tackle and become agile together, you know, looking forward. And I think if you look at most church leadership development programs, that component is missing, right? And I think you would agree with me. That's something that's really important.
Oh, yeah. And I love your metaphor of the calculator, because, Kenny, you and I were raised in the 1900s. And we can remember teachers saying to us, well, you better pay attention because you're not always going to have a calculator in your pocket.
Yes.
Right now, I'll hold up the calculator that I have in my pocket every single day called a cell phone. And I think it comes down to, as I'm listening to you talk, a stewardship issue. It's how we're stewarding these developments in technology. I've heard you say AI isn't a job ender, it's a job evolver. Talk more about that.
Yeah, I don't think at the end of the day, this isn't about technology, right? You don't need to be a techie to leverage AI. And even as we go further, you're going to need to know even less. Like you're not going to need to touch a keyboard. You're just going to be able to talk to the AI. The metaphor I always teach is that you need to think of the AI chatbot as a smart seminary student intern, right? Not a push button candy machine that pops a piece of candy, you open it up and you just consume whatever you get. It's a conversational chatbot for a reason. And so the fact that you don't need to be a techie to be to really leverage AI means what? It really means you just need to be a problem solver. You just need to figure out what are you called to actually go in and attack so that you can release some potential energy, some potential flourishing, some potential redeeming opportunity in front of you as a church leader. And then AI might have a role. How might we do it? What if we actually used AI in the equation to attack that problem? And, you know, I think in this whole revolution of AI, it's like ethics and, you know, job evolution or job extinction or data, privacy, security, all these things are important. But they are side notes. You know, they aren't the side notes. They're the main plot of how we're actually going to move forward. And I think at the end of the day, if you just put on the hat of a problem solver that's growth oriented, then we're able to go and we're going to be able to find new opportunities that the church has never even thought of before.
That's inspiring listening to that. And I know we've got church leaders that are tuning into this conversation that have had their heads in the sand. And I raise my hand as one too. It's like, this will get taken care of. I don't need to worry about this.
Right.
And so as church leaders, regardless of what we think about AI, it's here. It's not coming. It's here. So let's focus our conversation now, and you led us well to this, and get practical around AI's impact for us as individual leaders and how it'll impact our churches and build our teams. What are some practical ways church leaders today can start leveraging AI individually?
Yeah, the most practical thing that you can do is to put a recurring calendar meeting on your calendar to work with it 15 minutes a day for 30 days straight. If you could work 15 minutes with AI for 30 days straight, your entire worldview will change. Your workflows will change. I guarantee you. And the 15 minutes.
What does that look like? Yeah.
So I literally, so I would put 15 minutes on the calendar. And then Tim, we would literally look at your calendar and say, what do you have to do today? Find something that you have to do today. And typically when I do this exercise, when I coach teams or leaders, they'll start to hypothesize, well, I can do that. No, literally, Tim, what's today? Today's Thursday. What do you have to get done today? Let's find something that's already booked on your calendar as a task on your to-do list. And let's ask the question to AI. Let's literally ask AI, the chatbot, whether it's ChatGPT or Claude or Bard or Bing. There's a whole slew of them. Let's open up the chatbot and then literally ask, I need to do this in the next hour. How might you help me accomplish that? Wow. Literally an open-ended question. So and again, I'm recalling that metaphor I told you before. Mm-hmm. If you had an intelligent seminary student in your office at your disposal all day, every day, following you with an amazing attitude, always willing to listen to you and always willing to help you, what would you actually do? And so that's literally what I would do. I'd find out exactly what you have to do and type it in as if you're talking to a seminary student intern and start a conversation.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. So yeah. take a lead pastor of a medium-sized church.
Yeah.
Give us an example of what you think would be on their calendar that they mightn't think of that AI could help them with today if sure. they did that.
I just got off a call this morning, and we did that type of brainstorming. And the pastor didn't think of this. Like, I had to probe and find out this example. But apparently he has a very good habit of writing thank you notes to donors, right? So right. he gets a list from, I think, his financial person that someone gives. I think it was the threshold is if someone gives over $500, then he writes a personal note. Right. Just acknowledging them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's acknowledgement and there's, you know, this gratitude thing I think is really important. But handwritten notes are a game changer. Right. And so he said he gets in a rut of writing people over and over again the same thing. So I said, why don't you just tell the chatbot as if it's a seminary student an assignment that says, I want you to write a note to Tim, who just gave a check for $750 and tell us a couple things about Tim and his family, where his heart for ministry might be. Maybe you have some interactions in the past with our special needs ministry or with our, you know, our computer and technology you've invested in some touch point. Put that in and say you want to write a thank you note of appreciation and gratitude. And see what comes out, right? And there comes out a draft. And then it's a conversation with the intern, right? Because no intern is going to get it right the first time. And tell it to write again. Instead of you doing the work, be a delegator, right? So instead of taking what you got and you say, oh, this is a crappy thank you letter. Let me fix it myself and rewrite it. Stop doing that. Work with the seminary student. And actually say, I liked what you wrote in this section. The opening was great. The middle part, I wish you talked about XYZ. Here's some more information I forgot and I didn't tell you last time. The ending was interesting, but I'd love to make you, you know, put in a joke or something like a PS and then see what happens again and have the conversation over and over again. So that's just a very simple thing that you can accomplish within 5 minutes that will actually help you generate a thank you note. Or a letter of appreciation for catching a staff member doing something right, right? We always, there's so much scolding and catching people when they do things wrong to redirect them, correct them. What about catching someone doing something right and praising them and reinforcing good behavior? So those are the types of things I think that's the most simplistic, easy, low level thing that I think, you know, it's low risk. It probably is not going to have any objections from most pastors to get some sort of writing help for a thank you note.
So talk about objections, because I'm sure you hear this more than anything. Yeah. And that is, hey, what's going to happen is pastors are just going to have AI write their messages, write yeah. their sermons. Talk about how we should view that and dig more into the seminary student and how we should use AI to help us be better.
Yeah. You see that that's like the number one thing, right? I was literally at a New Canaan Society men's breakfast this morning, and we introduced ourselves, and the guy next to me was like, oh, you know, we would never want AI to write our sermons in church. And, you know, that is the typical objection that you get from pastors and leaders and people in the pews. And my rebuttal is, if you had a seminary intern, you would never assign them to write your sermon and then go to the pulpit on Sunday and read and preach that sermon without reviewing it, without remodifying it, without improving it. So why would you ever assume that I would do that with an AI written sermon? I don't think that any pastor out there is looking at these chatbots to replace their sermon writing. Now, is it helpful for research, for analysis, for sermon illustrations, for improvement in clarity, logic, argument, contextualization? Absolutely, right? Just like a very, like if you had an English major seminary student and on the honor rolls, you would want them to give you feedback on how to improve the clarity and structure of your message, right? Same thing. I think there's so many ways that, especially for that objection, we could actually address it in ways that are meaningful, that are practical, and at the end of the day, disarming you from the fears that you have for that objection.
Yeah, it's interesting. I teach at my home church and have taught for some time and have always used Google for research, always. We should see this as an extension of that, correct?
Absolutely. And in fact, there are going to be, you know, people that say, I just used Google for my sermon development, because Google actually has Bard and it's going to be integrated. If you go to Bing.com, Bing is back. That's a search engine that everyone thought was going to die, but has integrated the technology behind ChatGPT into the search engine. So you're going to be able to use these tools just like Google, just like a commentary, just like Logos software. And I think the question there just comes down to attribution. Mm-hmm. You don't want to ever be caught in a place where you feel like you're hiding, you know, what you're doing, your methodologies, your tools, just like you would never hide that you used Google to do some research or a commentary for research. However, I don't think at this point in time, in this year, that it has been normalized that AI is a tool just like Google. And so until that point comes, I do think it is advice that it's imperative for all churches to have an AI policy. And it's also important to have some transparency about the fact that you use AI tools. Now, I don't think you need to have the attribution or footnote in every single sermon, but I think conversationally, you want to have it come up organically, naturally, to be able to talk about it just as if you were excited about, or if you use some tools in your hobby, or, right, if you're a pickleball fan, most people in your congregation would probably hear about you playing pickleball here and there, right? If you love spearfishing, when you go off on vacations, people will see that in photos, on your social, you know, you'll talk about it. I think it's the same thing. I think you talk about your experiences with AI. And I do think this is even more interesting to people than spearfishing or pickleball, et cetera, because AI is applicable to everybody today, right? And so I would not hide it at all. And I'd start the conversations. And that's the number one. That's the number one advice I give to leaders about how to embrace AI, how to get AI ready, is you need to just have conversations with people on your team. Schedule a lunch and learn. Have a staff meeting where some portion of the time is dedicated to AI, where you don't need to be the expert. And you might be uncomfortable because most of the times you're seen as the leader and expert and you understand this topic. This is a time where peer-to-peer is really you know, the shining light example. Like, you just have to say, hey, I want to talk about AI. What questions do you have? What questions should we as a group have? Who's using AI? Let's just do some show and tell and see what happens. I think that's the first step that everyone needs to do.
Kenny, so helpful. I'm going to put you on the spot again, and I'm going to ask you to prophesy for us, Kenny. When you talk about this not being normalized in the church, how long do you give it before it is?
I think I think the fact that mainline culture is accelerating the adoption of AI is only going to make it easier for churches to adopt it as well. Churches are tends to be, a laggard in most technology development, right? I think there's in the church, there's this intersection of faith and tech. We find the capacity for growth, but also the capacity of reluctance of change, right? And so I think that it's probably going to take a couple of years behind mainstream culture. So probably in the next 3 years, that's the time horizon thing, 3 or 4 years before it's going to be common. Most likely it'll be more common, before you know it. But I think 3 years is where everyone's going to start to feel comfortable. It's kind of like back in the day when, Amazon came out and, you're not going to put your credit card on the internet, right? It's so dangerous. And then you don't think about it today at all, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to go over that hump pretty quickly in a very similar fashion.
But I love your advice to talk about it now. Kenny, I'm also interested in your thoughts about AI's impact for church teams, because at Slingshot, we're all about building remarkable teams.
Yeah.
How we build those teams has and will continue to evolve. Assess for me what you anticipate the future of church teams looking like as AI continues to advance. What stays the same and what do you anticipate will be different with church teams?
I don't think AI is going to remove all the work on your calendar where you're going to be able to take 2-hour tea parties or go off and have golf every day. I think there's
talking always... about tea parties because I'm Australian. Is that what you're saying?
And so I don't think it's not one of those things where, it's just like we're going to have a 2-day work week all of a sudden. AI is going to do everything for us. I think, in fact, it's probably going to go the other direction. Technology, ironically, has given us more work to do, right? Because as humans, we see the massive potential that every technological leap gives us. To be able to do more, to have more impact, to go further faster. So I do think there's going to be, that's going to stay the same. Like your workloads and things like that is going to stay the same. I think what you're going to be able to do is you're going to have more fulfillment across many church teams, because you're going to see the acceleration in terms of the fruits of your labor. That we're going to be able to communicate with more people. We're going to be able to actually juggle more things than we used to before. We're going to be able to actually segment and, have more personalized or customized ministry activities and efforts for different segments of the population in your community. So there's all these great things that are going to happen. Now, for teams, I think there will be people left behind as... anyone in this AI space, I'm sure you've heard this this notion, is that AI is not going to come and take your job, but someone who's been thinking about how AI could be used in your job will come take your job, right? The people that are AI, that really understand what AI is about and how to use those tools are going to be the ones that are going to have higher value, right? At the end of the day, those are going to be the better candidates, because they're going to be able to be, again, more agile, more impactful, have a growth mindset, and actually they're going to be able to evolve over time better with whatever the next technological development comes our way.
Mm. Do you think it changes the roles that we're focusing on? I mean, what will the new roles be that are needed moving forward?
Yeah, it's you're starting to see it with some of the social digital stuff where it used to be we need a social media manager or something that's compartmentalized. And then now you're starting to see communications that most teams in larger churches especially are starting to have comms or that marketing mindset or that role starts to be baked in across the place. And so same thing here. I think at the very beginning, you will start to see people that are focused on tech and AI integration into stuff, like almost like a centralized service, but yet over time, it's just going to be baked in everywhere. I think the other thing that's going to change, honestly, is that we're not going to have all this like AI hype that's gonna die. Like the last month, I think over 2,000 AI specific apps launched. And then at the time of this recording, we just had the latest iPhone launch, and everyone was anticipating that they're going to talk about AI all over the place. They didn't. They actually talked about AI very little, if none. And so, but what happened was all the new features that were released, so much of it is AI powered. It's behind the scenes. It's baked in. And I think that's what's going to start to happen with a lot of things in that's available to us with tools, that it's not going to be this shiny object anymore. It's just going to be, you know, something that empowers the tool sets that we have. And so I don't think you're going to necessarily need like an AI specialist, you know, 10 years from now, 7 years from now, et cetera.
This is fascinating. And it's the kinds of things we need to be talking about right now, get our heads out of the sand. That's why so much of our focus in working with churches is not on finding the right doer of ministry, but pushing them to find the right leaders who can lead and build something bigger than themselves, leveraging the tools, the new tools that we have at our disposal. Kenny, I know you are passionate about tech, but at your heart, you're a pastor. Fast forward with me and let's look 10 years into the future. Based off of what you know now and the potential of what could be, what is your hope for how AI can be leveraged for the church and the spread of the gospel?
So I think there's this irony that the church has this opportunity, but also needs to pay attention. So AI at the end of the day is not, again, I don't buy into this necessarily, this narrative of human versus machine. But AI is a mirror, right? It reflects both the brilliance, but also the bias of its creators, right? AI doesn't replace the human touch. It amplifies our human urges and behaviors and everything that we're made of. And so I think what's going to happen is you're going to see an amplification of felt needs that come up in our communities, much so more than before, kind of like how the pandemic has drawn out mental health as an issue. I think almost every church leader listening to this conversation will agree that they've dealt with mental health across their ministry fronts more so now than pre-pandemic, right? It's just a common thing. And even personally on staff, like pastor burnout and all that kind of stuff. So I think the same thing, AI is going to amplify a lot of these felt needs that we need to have. And that becomes an opportunity for churches to become relevant and to actually help our communities in radical ways that our commerce and institutions and government and all the other spheres in our society don't have the capacity to respond to. And then at the same time, AI is going to be able to accelerate and amplify the types of things that we can do to actually help in those situations. So I think it's like it's going to contribute to some issues, but it's also going to help solve some issues in different ways at the same time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, what an exciting time to be alive and do ministry with these amazing tools. As we close, I love what you talk about around dreaming big when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. Just close with that thought.
Yeah, and earlier on, we were talking about back in the days of Church Online and, you know, all the wonky tech that we, in any digital ministry front, I think everyone can empathize with this. We're always frustrated with the tech that we have. And the latest, greatest, even if it came out today, doesn't do everything magical like we want it to. Our dreams for what, man, if we just had this technology that does X, Y, Z, our dreams are so much bigger than what technology offers. Yet at the same time, right now, for the first time in the timeline of humanity, AI is flipping the script, and that technology outpaces the dreams that we have as church leaders in the church today. And my challenge to everybody here is, do you need to dream bigger? Is God asking you to dream bigger? Does God's dream for you and your ministry, is it bigger than what you actually hold in your mind? And is there some fear that's holding us back? And what can we do about it to actually, you know, give us permission to dream bigger and see how AI might actually be something better for the gospel than a hindrance for the gospel?
That's a great challenge, Kenny. You've given us a good challenge. You've given us great next steps. And you are doing amazing work with leaders and churches in helping advance them in the way of technology and AI. How can people get in touch with you?
You can find me on Google, Kenny Jiang, everywhere, on all the socials. The best place to learn about this AI stuff, all this geeky stuff, to make it accessible to everybody, we created AIforchurchleaders.com. It's a training platform. We've got monthly workshops. It's just a place that makes it easy for you to learn and your staff to learn. And then we've got a Facebook group of thousands of leaders. It's growing by hundreds every week under the same name. AI for Church Leaders is the name of the Facebook group. We'd love to have you. And again, it's one of those places where it's not, you know, here's the expert teaching everybody. It's everybody learning from each other. And in every innovation front, the ones that win are the ones that lock hands together and understand we're better together. And this is the same thing here.
Kenny, thanks for the work you're doing, for elevating this conversation, and for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. Always fun with you.
Well, hey, everyone, if this conversation challenged you as much as it did me, you've got some next steps to take and some things to put on your calendar about how to experiment with AI. Also, you're going to want to share this with another church leader or share it with your whole team so that they start digging into this too. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcast, or share it with another leader. Thanks again. And until next time, stay curious and reach for the remarkable.